This morning's scripture is fairly long, but it's Psalms 33 in its entirety. And the reason that I chose this scripture, well, it's quite evident in the message, but there are things within the scripture that speak directly to our message this morning. And I thought it prudent to read the entire scripture, even though it's somewhat long, but I think it's important for us to reflect on it this morning. So let's go to Psalms 33. I'm in the New Living Translation. If you're in another Bible, it'll be familiar to you, but it could be some different words. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say. Psalms 33 in its entirety. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the melodies on the lyre. Make music for Him on the 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to Him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. Sing a new song of praise to Him. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything He does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the seas its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of Him. For when He spoke, the world began. It appeared at His command. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people He has chosen as His inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From His throne, He observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts so that He understands everything they do. The best-equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear Him, those who rely on His unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice. Let your unfailing love surround us, for we trust in His holy name. Lord, for our hope is in You and You alone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning's message is entitled, Recalculating, U-Turn America. This is not a political message. It may sound in part as one, but it is a message that not only am I feel called to share with you, I've been asked to share with you. For some time, I have been promising my friend Billy Wade to preach this sermon. Unfortunately, he's not here this morning. A portion of this sermon comes from a patriotic Sunday school lesson that I taught several years back. And ever since, Billy has been begging me to bring that message to the pulpit. Billy has been a great friend and a mentor to me for years, and I am one of his biggest fans. So I wanted to dedicate this sermon to Bill this morning, so he now will have to listen to it on the website. As many of you know, Billy is a Navy veteran, and there are many veterans in this room this morning. There are many represented on the flag at the rear of the sanctuary. Our freedom comes from those who serve. It goes without saying we are the land of the free because we are the home to the brave.
Tomorrow we celebrate the 4th of July. Tomorrow this great nation is 246 years old. In its infancy, this nation was based on the promises of liberty, responsibility, duty, honor, and self-sacrifice. We were founded on a principle that all men are created equal, and that belief is grounded in our covenant with God Almighty. Our freedom comes from our immense faith in a higher Creator. And the blessings He showers us with as a nation and as a people, those blessings stand because of our service to Him. Tomorrow's celebration of our nation's birthday is really a celebration, as I told the boys, of our independence and our freedom. Make no mistake, we have this freedom because others were willing to give their all. Each of you have heard this before, but let me reiterate this morning. Our freedom isn't free. In fact, freedom is extremely expensive. It has a cost that some people can't fathom. It has cost many people everything, including their lives. Freedom isn't free. But as we sit here this morning and enjoy its benefits, we recognize and concede that freedom is something worth fighting for. So what are we really celebrating tomorrow? Well, let me first say we are celebrating the birth of a country. A country and an idea that was founded on Christian ethics, found throughout Holy Scripture in the Bible. I declare to you this morning from this place, we are a God-based nation. We have been, and we shall remain, and we've been this way ever since our idea was planted on the soil in 1492 with the landing of Columbus. I believe it is safe to say that the Christian faith has involved itself in just about every aspect of our nation's beginnings. So not to bore you, because I'm a history buff, but I promised Billy I would share some of the things out of that Sunday school lesson. So here they go. Christopher Columbus landed in 1504. He wrote the reason for setting forth to discover a new land was the following. He wrote these words: I was led of the Holy Spirit to carry the message of the gospel to undiscovered lands. Did you know that the Pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock formed what is called the Mayflower Compact in 1620? These are the words of the Mayflower Compact. In the name of God, amen. Having undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God, covenant and combine ourselves together. The New England Confederation Constitution, established in 1643, was actually the first constitution ever written on this soil. It says the following: Whereas we all come into these parts with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity and in peace. Friends, America was founded by men and women who acknowledge God's supreme rule over their lives. In the Delaware Charter, we see the Puritans define their primary purpose of establishing their colony here in America. It said this: to further spread the holy gospel, the Virginia Charter assured the right of every person to live in Christian peace and instructed them to speak and act as follows: spread Christian religion to such people who yet live in ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God. Listen to these words from President George Washington's personal prayer book. These are powerful. O eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more in likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in the appointment time obtain the resurrection of the justified unto eternal life. Bless, O Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the world be filled with the knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Written in his prayer book, the first president of the United States of America. Listen to these words from President John Quincy Adams. He's speaking about the Declaration of Independence. President Adams says, "From the time of the Declaration of Independence, the American people were bound by the laws of God and the laws of gospel that we know of Jesus Christ, in which they all acknowledge as the root of their conduct. We all come together to obey the Word of God." You may find it interesting that President Adams was also the chairman of the American Bible Society. Patrick Henry said that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. President Thomas Jefferson wrote on the front of his Bible these words. He said, "I am a Christian." That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus. I have little doubt that our whole country will soon be rallied to the unity of our Creator, and I hope to the pure doctrine of Jesus also. President Jefferson, in an address to the Danbury Baptists, said this: "The First Amendment has created a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in its government." While referencing the First Continental Congress, Benjamin Franklin said, "Many of you have heard the story of how the founding fathers were discussing and debating about how the Declaration of Independence would be written. If you are a history buff at all, you know that that was a huge debate, to the point where it almost didn't pass. And thus, the creation of America may not exist." But Franklin stood at a moment in that debate, and he said these words. He came to his feet in front of his colleagues, and he said, "Gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek his face immediately." Instantaneously, following that statement, 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence fell to their knees as one man building one nation, and began to pray and seek the wisdom of God. Just a quick piece of history. 53 of those 56 signers were professing Christians. As a man of God myself, I can't help to think about what a wondrous day it would be if our current Congress would go to their knees in prayer like our forefathers did that day, signing the Declaration of Independence, and ask this question of God. "Almighty God, what do you want and what do you will for this nation? Lead us to carry that out." Another piece of important founding history, in 1782, the United States Congress made the following resolution. This may shock some of you. The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools. All of you know we are a nation governed on three independent branches of government. We have an executive branch, a legislative branch, and a judicial branch. Friends, our founding fathers were brilliant men. And what made them brilliant is where they sought their knowledge from and their wisdom. You see, our founding fathers sought their wisdom from Scripture. They didn't invent the wheel here as they designed our government that we know today. They simply took our form of government from the Holy Word. Here is your government found in Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. Isaiah 33:22 refers to the Almighty God in those same three functions we see in the forms of the government of the United States today. It is God, my friends, who will save us. It is absolutely evident to me that the framers and the founding fathers of this nation and our government got together and said the following: how can we best organize and structure our government, our idea, to last the test of time? They immediately sought God's wisdom. They looked to the gospel and found the answer as they desired his righteousness in this new idea called America. Here is another significant piece of important history for you this morning. The church. Yes, the church played an enormous part in our nation and its many successes. The church was a bedrock in the foundation of this nation. Francis Bellamy, a preacher, wrote our Pledge of Allegiance. Samuel Smith, another preacher, wrote the hymn, My Country Tis of Thee. John Leland, another preacher, wrote the introduction to the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. In the 1860s, over 80% of all American college presidents were preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. William and Mary, Princeton, Brown, Yale, Dartmouth, Harvard, and Columbia. All institutions of higher learning were founded by Christian preachers who expressed their intent to educate youth to Christ Jesus. Harvard University was named after John Harvard, a pastor in Charleston, Massachusetts. Mr. Harvard stated that the purpose of this institution was the following: that every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main ends of his life and studies. To know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the foundation of all knowledge and learning, and see that the Lord only giveth wisdom. To let everyone seriously set himself by prayer to seek Christ Jesus as Lord and Master. Harvard's original seal, which is present on the campus today, states truth for Christ and the church. America's first book issued to our school children was the New England Primer. On the front of its cover, it has the Lord's Prayer. The influence of God upon the founding of America is so evident that no reasonable person or even a scholar can deny it. Friends, our founding fathers and the men who helped frame this nation were not perfect by no stretch of the imagination. They were not without their own personal flaws, but they were men of honor and men of valor and godly men. They acknowledged that God was the supreme ruler over man and over government. Despite what modern perspective is, America was founded not on the concept of freedom to worship one God, but on the freedom to worship a man named Jesus Christ. Our framers knew that in Jesus Christ there was true hope. Today, and I mean right now, I ask you to redirect yourselves and find your way back to the covenants of God, like the ones our founding fathers had as they brought an idea and resurrected it to a nation we now live in. If we do this, America will make a course correction. We will recalculate your destination as American citizens. Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." Psalms 33:12 that we read this morning, I'll repeat it, says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chooses for his own inheritance." Our God is real as you and me's in this sanctuary this morning. The real God, not the man-made one, the real God that we know, the triune God, governs and rules with laws that are just and good. And these rules and laws always tend to promote the public welfare and prosperity of this nation. Make no mistake, our God, the triune God, will bless the nation that follows him and that stands behind the nation of Israel. Our influence of our faith in him will tend to promote virtue and intelligence and purity and truth, and thus will promote the welfare of this nation we live in today. So how do we recalculate and make a course direction, America? First, you have to accept that you have a problem before you can make adjustments to fix it. Friends, it is time that you and I recognize our present time. The time has come for you and me to wake up and stand up from our slumber. Because our salvation today is nearer than it's ever been in past days. The church has been sleeping, and we are either unaware or we choose to wear blinders to the facts that the world has changed drastically over the past 3 and 4 decades. As humans, we often reference the good old days. And if I ask many of you, you may say you'd like to return to them. Well, unfortunately, I have some bad news for you. As much as many of us would like to do that, just that, get back to those national Christian standards that made up the good old days, they are truly water over the dam. We simply no longer live in those times. There was a time years ago when the majority of Americans were Christians, and those who weren't had a very healthy respect for the Word of God and Scripture. Those days too are gone. If you remember, there was a time when you had to be a Christian to hold office in this country. No longer. Gone are those days as well. 100 years ago, a revival called the Welsh Revival swept through Great Britain and filled every pew that was vacant in the church. Today, there are fewer and fewer Christians who attend Sunday worship in Europe. So my call to you this morning is, wake up, America. Today's road looks very similar to that of Europe. Europe now stands as a post-Christian secular society, meaning that it takes a back seat to most religions in that country. Is this where we are headed? Well, the answer is Yes. If we don't wake up and stand up, I assure you this is a road that we will be on that we do not want to travel on. If we do remain on this road, America will forever be changed. There will be no redirecting, recalculation, or course direction. I call your attention to Revelations as a family of faith. Don't be the church of believers found in that Revelations chapter who were spiritually complacent and spiritually weak. In fact, the story is they no longer pursued a vibrant spiritual lifestyle. Jesus spoke to the church in Sardis. And that church may look like we do today. There's plenty of space still left in these pews. Are we complacent? Are we spiritually weak? Listen to the words that Jesus said to Sardis. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. So wake up and stand up are not my words in this message this morning. They are Christ Jesus' words. This morning, what Jesus is simply saying is that we must remember what made our nation a great country and repent and return to the Bible. We must, as a church, be center-focused on the Holy Scripture. And we must share that to the world today. We no longer can wait 1 minute. Listen to what President Woodrow Wilson said. A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today. No truer words were ever spoken by a man. As Americans, and especially as Christians, we need to wake up to what's happening right here in this beautiful land we call America. I call on your prayers for this nation. Lift up your prayers for America. We should be storming heaven with our petitions for this nation. From the beginning of our nation, God has been intervening on our behalf. As a history buff, you go back and you read and look at how God interacted with our people throughout our entire time. There are miraculous stories of God's protection during these times. In the Revolutionary War, God was with our troops at Valley Forge. And he was certainly with our men on the beaches of Normandy. Not sure if many of you followed Billy Graham in your lifetime, but I recall the words of his daughter, Anne, who said following 9/11 and the catastrophe of Katrina, she said, "For years we have been telling God to get out of our schools and get out of our government, and yes, to get out of our lives." She goes on to say, "I believe he has just calmly backed out." What is God to do? I ask you this morning, if that is our desire in our hearts. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand that he leave us alone? Let me share God's word with you, because it's clear about his promise. His promise is to answer prayer when a nation needs healing. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." The burden of our nation does not rest on who's in the White House. It doesn't rest on who's in Congress or in the governor's mansions or the state houses or even the courthouses for that matter. The burden of our nation rests upon the shoulders of the people of the church, the family of faith that's gathered here this morning, and thousands like us. It rests on you and it rests on me. We need to speak daily to the Lord and pray on behalf of our nation and its leadership. It is time, my friends, we get on our knees and repent, much like the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Not a simple heal our nation prayer will do, but a prayer that lines up with the will of God, prayer that reaches His throne immediately, and prayer that instantaneously moves God's hands in action. That's the prayer we should be praying. Let me remind you what happens to a nation that doesn't repent and seek God's wisdom. This fact is found in 2 Chronicles 7:19. Hang on to your hats, it's pretty sobering. But if you turn away and you forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, then I will uproot Israel from my land which I have given them. I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. That is not just a gesture. It's a promise and a warning. Most Christians are insensitive about the culture in which we are living in today. We have used the church just to go to have a feel-good location about ourselves. We want to escape from the world and its influences, so we simply come to church, thinking if we go to church on Sunday, everything's going to be okay. Well, here's some more bad news for you. That's the wrong approach. Jesus never sounded the trumpet of retreat, friends. And we don't serve a surrendering God. Jesus told us to charge into the world and carry the good news. That doesn't mean we come to church for a sanctuary and a place of safe haven. We leave the walls of this place and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Now, mind you, some Christians have taken this advice to become some mean snakes in their lives. However, do not take Christ's words out of context here. Jesus was telling us to wake up and look and see what is happening in our culture without conforming ourselves to the culture. Just because it's popular, we're not to give in. We are to even stand stronger. Jesus didn't say to become a snake. He said we must become as wise as snakes while remaining as innocent as doves. Webster said, "God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it." If we are going to guard and defend our liberty, we must understand those forces that are truly threatening. Wake up, my wise friends. We must be willing to stand up for righteousness and truth in a culture that is becoming more wicked by the day. Our world is struggling like never before in moral darkness. And Jesus has called us to be the light of the world. Our culture seems to get more corrupt, and Jesus has called us to be the salt of the earth. For too long, we have been guilty of the sin of silence. Yes, there is a silent majority in this nation, and we are represented by it. But we're guilty of the sin of silence. Moses petitioned Pharaoh for the liberty of God's people. Nathan confronted King David for his sinful actions as a leader. These men were not silent, so why are we? As Christians, we need to ask ourselves the same question. Is this the kind of nation we want our children and our grandchildren to inherit? Simply put, stop being silent. Your opinion matters. We must stand up for the truth and righteousness, because if we don't, nobody else will. You see, when we don't stand up, the devil wins and America falters. If we stay shackled in the sanctuaries and keep God's light locked up in our churches, the devil wins and America falters. As families of faith, we are not second-class citizens of this country. Our voices need to be heard. In fact, the Bible commands it. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world." The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." God urged His people, "Shout it out loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet." Friends, stand up and stand firm in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let our voices be heard and persuade the direction of our nation through the eternal and infallible truths of God's Word and how godly principles apply to the laws and common practices of our great nation. Finally, we need to stand up for the biblical beliefs that we each have. This is going to be hard to hear, but you're going to hear it. No longer can you be silent about it. You need to stand up for it. You see, killing babies in a mother's womb is wrong, and you need to stand against it. We need to speak out against the things that are against God's Word in our studies. Redefining marriage to include homosexuality is wrong. We need to stand up against it. We need to remind the jurists in America that we are founded in God. The Constitution they rule upon was founded on the principles of Holy Word and Scripture. Enough is enough. You see, we are recalculating a course correction in America. America needs godly people, and there you sit in front of me. So act, and act in the name of Christ Jesus, for a better America is in your hands. Jesus is asking you to wake up and rediscover the simple truths that He brought to our lives. That as long as our motto is "In God we trust," then we will remain a great nation. When that motto changes, we will falter. I know many of you remember Paul Revere, who made the infamous ride, "The British are coming. The British are coming." I'm asking you to saddle up and ride and rouse our culture back to the principles of our founding. In God we truly do trust. In America, in the bell towers of American churches rest countless liberty bells. A bell is meant to be rung for all to hear. We are called to proclaim liberty throughout the land unto the inhabitants thereof. Jesus said in His first sermon following His temptation in the wilderness these following words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Thus, to the bell towers of American churches, if you want a different America tomorrow than you have today, ring out and proclaim the Word of God. No bell can be heard if it's not rung. Much like the bell, the gospel of Jesus Christ does no good to anyone if it isn't proclaimed. Stand up, Christian friends. It's your time. Ring the bells of freedom. Ring the bells of your religious freedom. Stand on the Constitution granted to you by the forefathers and proclaim your freedom. Hold on to your freedoms garnered in our government. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and rest on the assurances promised in Holy Scripture. Reset the course for the nation we lovingly call America. Ring the bell. Ring it loud. Let the world know America is coming about and Jesus Christ is on board. Amen.